Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. Just playing with my furnace.
Uh-oh. That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a humidifier.
So, topic for today, do you want to maybe talk about the show?
Sure. Sure. Yes.
So, what do you think of the show?
What did I think of the show?
Yeah.
I want to say it was probably the best show we did, but I don't know what everyone else's opinion is. I mean, the sound was good. The crowd was good. Just overall, it was just excellent.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think performance-wise, I know it was my best one. Alex was spot on. Oli was feeling it. Like, there was less stuff there. I mean, and you're always good. But how did you feel? What's that?
Go ahead.
But I was. Were you? How are you feeling with the stage size? Did you have enough room to be you up there? Because you're a big tall guy. That was my biggest concern through the whole thing. Alex is like a little guy, and he can jump around and still do all his moves, all his stage moves. But did you feel cramped at all?
No, it was a decent. It wasn't a dance floor by any means, but I'd say it was probably about the same amount as what was the first place we went?
Oh, at the merch.
Mm-hmm. I guess it was about as much.
Oh, yeah.
It was about the room is there, I guess.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, they'd be about right. Yeah. The only thing I thought lacking was because we didn't have that room, I was trying to like get out of the way so you could interact with Oli more because I really love the interactions between you and Oli.
Yeah, I don't know if that stage was big enough for that. As it was when I went over to Alex on the first song, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of room. So when you're coming back, you're going to have to look around and not just kind of swing over and just, take you out.
You can't look cool going back to your spot on the stage. Because you're like, okay, watch Sean's head. Go watch the amp. Watch the microphone stands. And I'm back in. When you're tiptoeing on eggshells, it's...
Yeah, that or just, try and do it a little more elegantly like the moonwalk or something. Back here at the stage, but... Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, I had never been there before, so that was a whole new thing for me.
Yep.
Same as when we were at the...
Pyramid?
At the Pyramid, I had never been there prior to, this year when we were playing there, so...
Yeah.
And for some reason, someone was saying that it was kind of similar to the Cowboys or UC Night Moves or whatever, where it had a second level. But I don't know who said that, but unless they were talking about a different one altogether.
Oh, they must have
not
been,
even close.
No, that place is... That's a small room. It's a bit more of an intimate room, which in some ways is kind of a good thing, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think for sound, though, this guy doing sound, like, holy crap.
Yeah, that was the best sound.
Oh, it was... And it's funny, though, like, now this is a humble guy. I think you must... Did you speak to him? Yeah, you spoke.
Oh yeah. He was like when we first got there. He says, "You know what?" He says, "I'm, and he gave him his name, and I'm really bad with names."
Yeah, Mike. I think his name was.
But he said the guy that normally does it. I think he was out in Selkirk. There was something going on, the Christmas party, or there was something. Anyway, so but he said that he had shown him, or he had trained him, or they worked together, or something like that. So.
Oh, okay.
So pretty much to say that we're in good hands, and it definitely was.
Yeah,
because I don't think it could have sounded any better, really.
No, I totally agree.
And Alex was using an ISO cap for the first time.
Oh yeah, let's talk about the ISO cap.
And just that alone was kind of like, do you really want to?
I was nervous as hell for that too.
when you when you're trying something new at a show isn't usually the time to do it, but actually it turned out really well.
Can you explain to the listeners what an ISO cab is? Because I didn't know what it was beforehand until Alex built it.
Well, normally you have like a, what he uses is a 212 cabinet. So you get two speakers in one cabinet, and that's what you use. And what you hear through the speaker is just like your stereo, like the sound comes out and you hear it, right? But with the ISO cab, basically it's a speaker in a cabinet with a cover. So you can crank it up and you basically don't hear a whole lot because it's all enclosed, right? But now what you do is you stick a microphone in the box, and then from the microphone, the cable goes to the front mixer, and then from there, he can, you know, bring it out onto Alex's and my monitors, and in the house where everybody can hear it in the bar, right?
Yeah.
So it's way more adjustable friendly that way. So if he's too loud on stage, you can't really turn him down unless you yell at him to turn it down. But the thing is with the ISOCAD is you can, you know, it can be quiet as a mouse on stage, and then he can just have his sound just strictly coming out in front of him, and then you can kind of adjust it to what he likes. Which was great because I normally, whenever we play anywhere, the only way I could hear Alex is if I could hear him coming from the other side of the stage.
Yes.
They never really came out through the monitors that well, and that's what I was kind of leery of because in the past it was never really that good for me hearing him. And then the ISOCAD was like, meh. And then sure enough, when he plugged it in, I mean, you could hear it out, you know, the sound coming out, going out into the bar, but you couldn't hear them out in front of our monitors.
Yes.
So then he had him, you know, put his up, and then he says, great, you know, I could hear it, and I could hear it coming out of his, but there's nothing coming out of mine at that point, and then I got him to turn mine up. And then I could hear him great, and it was perfect. And then me with my, you know, my amp was right behind me, you know, thumping away, and then him in the front, and then Ole on the side, and then you coming out in the front too. Everything was just mixed perfect.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I found like Alex's old setup was, it's almost like someone was pushing me from my right hand side of the stage. Like it was, I was always struggling to hear you amidst all that and hear myself amidst all that because I was just drowned out from his amp all the time. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so, like, I had better control over my vocal because of the ISO cab, because I could hear him clearly, mm-hmm. but I could also, somehow I was cutting through as well. So, the whole, that, like, there's no way I want him to play with anything other than that from now on. And I'm actually, would be curious to see if we can do it on the bass side as well. Because it just sounded so freaking good.
See, the only problem with the bass is, and we've had them when we were playing at the Pyramid. I mean, the speakers, the form, like the monitors,
yep.
aren't built for, you know, I don't think they're built for low-end bass. Because I had them turn it up one time, and all I heard was snap, crackle, and pop. Because
gotcha.
I don't think they're made for that. But for me to feel it behind me and go, like, it was perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know how well anyone else heard me, but it was perfect for me because I could really, you know, I could hear in the mic'd Ole's kick really good. So, I mean, I could feel that. And then with mine, I could really, you know, the cues were, I guess I'd say easy, but, you know exactly, you know, when to hit your notes because, you know, it came out really, really clear. So.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I want to make sure that on this podcast, I'm going to put a shout out to the sound guy, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
He sure. Like humble dude, because all he had to say was how great we were. And I kept telling him how great he was at making us, like he made us sound good.
Oh yeah.
He didn't take any credit at all. He just threw it back on like how good we were and. You know, like, God, that bass tone, like, wow, it was just carried through. And then, like, he spent, like, when I talked to him, he spent time talking about each instrument and what he liked about it and what, you know, of course, you know, being the egocentric singer, I spent some time talking about the vocal a bit. And he said that I was able to cut through. But the only reason I was able to cut through the room is only because of the work that he did. It was just like, that guy's got an ear. Like, he totally knows what he's doing. It was a pleasure, like, playing at that place for that reason alone. Even if no one was there, I would have been content just because of that guy.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the experience, like, way better. Yeah, that'd be like listening to a song in stereo. You got it cranked up, yeah. And then you can't hear this or you can't hear that. But
yeah.
He had it just dialed in. So,
yeah, it was awesome. It was so good. What do you think about the room in general? What do you think of the room in general? Oh, it's up by this is called the club. The new Club St. B is the name of the place we played.
Well, something kind of, well, not really off, well, I guess kind of off topic, but it was in the room, was the pinball machine that was right by the bathroom.
Yep.
Before we went on, I just kind of went there, figured, oh, I'll throw, you know, a buck in and, you know, I'll lose my three balls, I'll be done. So I put my buck in, I go through three balls, and then another one comes out, and another one comes out, and I assume I'm getting enough points because, I mean, this thing is so old that, you know, you don't even see the display is half, you know, half stuff's burnt out or whatever, so you can't see. And, I mean, I was there for a good half an hour.
Are
and then
serious?
I was like, okay. Yeah, and I was like, what? And started, like, okay, I'm just going to leave it. So, as far as I know, it was still, you know, I still had three balls. In, but thing, eat your money. I was like, well, I've been playing for the same. I've been playing the same game for the last
hour.
Yeah,
you meant to play for like 5 or 10 minutes, and then all the next thing you know.
Yeah, what, someone from the club's going to listen to this and they'll have it unplugged now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, the way it looked, with, like the tiling, the black and the white tiling,
yep,
looked really good.
Yep.
The dance floor wasn't huge. It was, you know, it was a decent size. And it was lit up well.
Yeah. Yeah, the lights were good there. I did like the lights.
I mean, the whole place was nice. They had the two pool tables on one side. They had another pool table on the back. They had the couches there.
And it looks like they got regulars, too, like, in terms of the crowd. Like, people that just come there, like, every week.
Yeah, I mean, the crowd was good. I mean, you got, you know, you have everybody and all the bands are there. And then you have, you know, the other people that came in. And, yeah, it was really good. And even, the people we played with were great, too. I mean, we talked to all of them. They were, you know, excellent bunch of people. Like, it was just so down to earth. It's just amazing that, you know, it's just, you know, just great overall, I guess.
Yeah, it was a magical night. I think a lot of things worked in terms of everything, not just our band, but just us and who we played with.
It was almost like one of those, it's New Year's Eve, this is the last big bang before the holidays type of thing. So, I mean, everybody just kind of played their hearts out, and I don't know, if, you know, I mean, I don't think we'll be playing until the new year again, but
yeah.
So that was probably our last hurrah for the year, but.
What a way to go.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. I did want to talk about the bands a little bit too. So you and I, at the very least, didn't know anything about these bands going in.
No.
Oli knew both the bands, and I guess that's how the show got put together, but Quoth the Sun, like the first band, what did you, you want to give a little description and what your take on them?
Well, okay. Well, not knowing them before, I mean, they're the ones who put it on, no?
I think so.
Okay.
I believe so.
Like the lead singer of the band, because she seemed to be organizing everything, like at the door and all that other stuff, and with the money and whatnot. So I'm assuming she's the one who organized it.
Yes.
So she was the singer in that band. And then they had two guitarists, the bassist was a female also, and then the drummer. And the music, that's all original music, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Well, no,
yeah,
actually, it was. I think they played like one cover, maybe two.
Oh.
I didn't recognize the songs, but I think they mentioned they were, you know, this is not theirs or something, or something along those lines.
Oh, okay. I thought they're all original, but yeah. The stuff that they wrote and whatnot was very, very well done.
Yep.
And it sounded great. I mean, it's just simple. Like, it just, it was good. It all blended well.
I felt like they were like a band. Like, they weren't just a bunch of people that played music and they happened to be playing together and they're just kind of jamming. Like, they really felt like a band. There was a brotherhood or sisterhood or whatever.
And they all kind of hung out, you know, they all kind of hung out like after and stuff, because you could tell that they were, you know, there wasn't like, you know, one person here, one person there, and the time they get like, together is when they like, play. Like, they, yeah, it's yeah. like they, you know,
they liked
they're
each
pretty,
other.
Yeah, they're pretty tight group.
Yeah, and I like seeing that. I really, because mm-hmm. it carries across on the stage. So I think the vocalist was ridiculously talented.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked the interplay between the two guitar players.
Yeah.
Who was taking the lead, who wasn't. And they both right. had kind of distinctive, like, they didn't sound like each other, which I liked it. I don't like it when two guitar players sound exactly the same. I felt like they had some separation there, which was good.
Yeah, when they're the same, it kind of gets lost.
Yeah.
It's like you could be playing, like, April Wine's got, how many guitarists they got?
Oh, yeah, they got like three.
And they all have a little bit, they're all a little bit different tone, right?
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, there was the Marshall and the Black Star, and they were, and they definitely had different tones.
Yeah.
I know the, like I said, I'm terrible with names, but, and the guy who had the Marshall, he cut through really good.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You really hear him.
Wait, that's the guy on the guy on the left hand side, right? Or the guy with the dreads?
The one that was on the far left.
Okay, far left. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I didn't hear him as well because I was watching the door. I could really hear the tone of the other guy, but I couldn't hear the tone as well of the other guy. I mean, I could make it out, but I couldn't dissect it. I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, you're right beside the stage. So, I mean, when you're in the front of the house and you can hear everything the way it's supposed to be mixed, then that you probably it probably was mixed a lot.
But I heard the bass player was I don't know. She really held it down, and I fell in love with that drummer. I don't know what it is about him,
mm-hmm.
and but he was I don't know. Like, he really stood out to me. Like, I mean. I don't know. I don't know what to say. He felt like he had his own sound. You know? Anyway, that's just me. You know, having.
So you're a drummer. You know what you're talking. The drums are pretty much drums, but you would know more than I would on that.
Well, sure.
On that aspect.
But he stood out. Like, drummers don't always stand out in bands. Sometimes they're just there holding it down, which is important. But this guy had the ability to actually be, to stand out. I don't know what the word is. Like, he wasn't just the guy behind the kid. He was, you know, I felt like there was multiple front people to the band. And the drummer just wasn't in the back. He was more in the front, if that makes sense. Not physically, but I mean, like, he wasn't just hiding behind the kid. It felt like he was out there. Not a lot of drummers do that.
Right. And hell of a nice guy, too, because, I mean, after he came out and he was complimenting me on the tone of the bass, actually, and we got to talking and stuff. We were by the door there, too, like where you were at.
Talking
about the show and that. Yeah, really, really nice guy. And then later on, like at the end of the night, I was talking a little bit with the bass player and the guitar player.
Oh, did you?
Both of them were there. So, actually, I talked to them both. And I was asking, because the bass that she has is a 5-string bass.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I was asking, like, did you start off with a 5-string? Because that's kind of like, because I've been, you know, when you watch these videos and stuff of people playing basses, and one guy was talking about, you know, 5- and 4-string and stuff, and he had said that usually it's not a progression. It's not like you go to 4. And then when you get proficient enough, then you go to 5. It's either 4 or 5. It's just one of those things where you're because you, I mean, you probably have to hold it differently, you meet it differently, and then you have extra strings, so things wider, so you have to kind of adjust, you know, the whole thing. And she was saying that, I guess, her neck, I guess, was kind of warped on there, so she, like, the low end, she couldn't really bring it through because it was buzzing quite a bit. And I guess, yeah, because I guess the more strings you have, the more chances are your neck's going to twist.
Yeah.
And I never really took that into account, but Yeah, and the other guitar player, he's got some wicked dreads.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Looks really good up on stage.
You know what? They looked good on stage. Yeah. They had an image. Like, that's why I say, like, they were like a real band. It wasn't just the camaraderie, but they all had a presence on stage. I don't feel anyone upstaged anyone else. Like, it really felt like
Definitely a group effort.
Yeah.
No one,
it really felt that way. Which I don't like bands as much where it's just all about one person. I really like the band. And it really felt like a band. And, like, they were all... Like, I can't compliment everybody in that band good enough. Like, I went home, and then I guess the next morning when I got up, I was looking after the kids, and I went and listened to everything they had on YouTube, like, right away.
Right.
And liked everything, and I did... It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
5 minutes away from home. So let's talk about the headliner.
Okay.
So the headliner was a cover band that called Will Switch Engage, and they do Kill Switch Engage covers.
Right. Yeah. Now, I've never listened to Killswitch.
Yep.
Like the music that the hard metal, new metal, or whatever you call it, that's not my cup of tea, really, so I don't really listen to it. So I didn't really recognize any songs.
No,
Alex
of course.
Did.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alex is a huge
fan. This
is,
and then he's, you know, thumping away, and I'm like, well, I have no idea what this is. So yeah. It was kind of hard to sing along or hum along, because I don't really know the tunes, but. But yeah, I mean, they were great too. I mean, it was just, you know, what are your thoughts?
I'm not a big Killswitch guy either. Before you joined Dome, we actually did a Killswitch song, so I was pretty excited when they played that one, Rose of Sharon. So, you know, I was like, it's pretty cool. They were good. Like, I think that kind of music's incredibly difficult to play.
Right.
And when I got a chance to hang out with Kevin, who's the guitar player on, if you're facing the stage, the guy on the left, the bald guy, really yep. nice guy, actually way more talented than seeing him in this band would identify, but he can play all kinds of music, and he's a really, really talented dude. I really enjoyed talking to Kevin. He was awesome, but it was kind of neat how, I don't know, it's good that a band like Killswitch can have a cover band doing their songs, and everyone in the audience, like, is going, you know, apeshit for them. Like, they had a really good energy, but it was really fun. It was just fun. Like, the singer was just a goofball, and it was awesome. You know, he just kept joking around and, you know, self-deprecating or whatever. And but that was freaking hilarious. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
it makes the night.
I couldn't help but, like, kind of get into it, even though I'm not a fan of the Killswitch. I mean, I appreciate the music, but, you know, I'm not a hardcore fan or anything. But even not knowing, you know, most of the songs, I was like, I still had a good time. Like, they were just fun to watch.
Yeah, true.
I mean, their set was over. It's like, their set's over. Like, okay. Like
the bass player's got, he's also got, I think it was a five-string bass also.
Yes.
But he had, it was almost the same color as mine. Like, it was a different brand altogether, but it was a different, it was kind of like the same aqua type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It all sounded good. It's just a shame I didn't recognize any of the songs.
Well, the only thing I would like to say, and I talked to Kevin about it, was that, man, I would love to see them play covers. I love to see them play originals.
Yeah.
The cover thing is awesome, you know, and it does have a certain cachet to it. Like, people will come see you because that's what you're doing.
And, well, yeah, you know, there's nothing like familiarity.
And it takes talent to play. It takes talent to play covers, but it takes a lot of talent to play Killswitch covers, because Killswitch is a very solid band.
Yeah.
So, I'd be really curious to see what these guys would come up with some originals. Like, I'd really, really like to see that. So, I mean, will they do that? Yeah, maybe in another incarnation of the band or whatever, but, you know, even if they threw, like, a non-cover in the set or something, I think that'd be really cool. But yeah, they were just a hoot. They're Hoot, yeah. And nice, super nice guys. Like, I spoke to the singer at length.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, super nice guy. That's what I mean, like, both bands. I mean, all the people in there were just great. I mean, I talked to almost everyone.
The drummer for the band, that guy made me laugh. He's the kind of guy that kind of knows everybody and kind of ingratiates himself with everyone. Like, he's very big on, hey, hi, you know, just... I like that. Like, he's just like, you know, like, we're in bands and we're in the scene and I need to know who you are. Like, he's the first guy that friended me outside the show on Facebook. And it's like, that's just who this guy is. He's like, he loves what he's doing. It's very apparent.
Right.
And he actually hurt his foot too. And he was playing with, a sprained ankle or whatever. I mean, pretty impressive doing double kick with a sprained ankle, but...
Is this is the tattoo artist guy?
Yeah. I guess he's a tattoo artist. I didn't even realize until I went on his page after.
Yeah, I saw the skulls in that, and I figured, hey, shit, I should have showed him my tattoo and see if he could add on to it.
Yeah, he's like a compassionate guy. He seems to care about everyone. It seems like that kind of guy, which is cool in my book.
Yeah, but,
yeah
for sure.
I just felt like we're hanging out with brothers and sisters, you know. It was just cool. Hopefully it wasn't appropriate, but I don't know, like, I think I gave a hug to one of the guys or whatever. It just felt like the right thing to do. Like, you know, everyone was just kind of in love with each other. It was like, you know, we did really good. We're all proud of what we all accomplished, and you know, it just really turned out really well. So
it's like the farewell tour.
Well, yeah, it was
farewell to 2017.
Yeah, but it was cool. Sure. Like, am I gonna go see these bands again? Yep. Are we gonna play with either one? I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I am at home and Sylvie's client's already here.
I'm gonna
sign off. I'm gonna run in, go kiss and hug my kids, and we'll see you on the flip side, Todd. I'm going to try to put this one up Saturday. I have another one before this I should put up, but this is kind of a bit more timely. So it is the 6th today, so we'll see this on the 9th, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put it up then.
All right, then.
Awesome.
We shall talk to you later.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right. Okay.
Later. Bye.
See ya.